This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Will Buff.
And I'm Jasmine Creighton.
The nation observed Martin Luther King Jr. Day yesterday. So as a follow-up today, it seems like it would be a worthy discussion to talk about diversity in the newsroom. This also is fairly timely for us because, Jasmine, you just came back from a two-day seminar in Washington, D.C. that dealt with this type of issue.
Yeah, it was a workplace integrity seminar, and they define that as environments free of harassment, discrimination, and incivility, and filled with opportunity, especially for those who have traditionally been denied it. So this can run the gamut of sexual harassment and any type of discrimination in the workplace.
And you should mention where the funding came from for this.
Yeah, so some of the money that they applied for was a grant out of the settlement about the Les Moonves situation at CBS. So what funded me to be able to go there was some of this money. And it ended up being a really worthy seminar talking about how ways that people can address these things when they happen, and also how to prevent them from getting worse, because most of the time it starts as microaggressions. It's things that aren't illegal, so they're not necessarily actionable on a legal stance, but they are things that prevent people from coming forward, make them uncomfortable, make them not want to come to work, maybe make them leave work. They can run the gamut from sexual harassment to any types of discrimination.
It seems like these kind of practices, whether it's in newsrooms or any kind of offices, have been happening, you know, since the beginning of time, unfortunately. But I think with these movements and with awareness that's being spread, I think social media can be had a hand in that. And I think what we're seeing is the fact that this is something that's far more common, unfortunately, than we thought. And we've seen people in Hollywood having been discovered or outed for this. And we have to pay attention to that. But especially when you're looking at a newsroom, how someone who is a person of power influence can improperly place some kind of, improper actions toward someone else, a subordinate or something of that nature. And we need to be aware of that, but especially how that enhances or rather not enhances but influences our media reporting in general. That should be especially concerning.
I think television newsrooms in large markets in particular have really worked to diversify the reporters, the anchors, working there to sort of reflect the demographics of those urban markets. But I think what we're not seeing, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jasmine, but there still is not much diversity among upper management. There's still that glass ceiling, and that's really where the leadership in the newsroom, you know, that's where these sorts of things sort of are allowed to happen, is if you don't have that diversity at the top.
Yeah, and the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission has been doing studies about harassment, discrimination in the workplace. And one of the first things that they talk about is leadership, Rich. It's organizational cultures sometimes tolerate sexual harassment in the workplace or discrimination, and it starts from the top. So it's people at the top maybe overlooking things that are happening or protecting people, and this stuff goes on for many years.
And not only the argument for the sake of diversity, to have a more diverse or a management that reflects the community, but for one, also to encourage this because we want to try to avoid these kind of instances. But this can go both ways, of course. We can have these abuses happening from by both men or women of power and influence, and we have to be aware of that.
It comes down to leaders need to show what they say. Anyone can take a test online. Anyone can sit through a seminar about how not to discriminate, how to prevent sexual harassment. But people have to walk the talk, right? So they have to display that they're not going to allow these types of things to happen and not do it themselves.
And I would think also if you have administrators, producers, editors, publishers, if we're talking about journalism and in this industry, if Les Moonves or someone is someone who has a tendency to have that kind of poor judgment, I mean, what other kind of judgment are they liable to have within their place of power or authority? We have to keep that in mind.
Yeah. Is there something new you picked up at this conference, Jasmine, that you're bringing back to your newsroom?
Yeah, so there are multiple different modules that what they've done is at the seminars they train us to be able to train others about these issues and how to prevent them and how to respond to these things when we hear them. And some of these things can be done in the classroom, although it takes a full day. It's not something that you can just do in an hour and you're like, oh, I'm good to go. Give me my certificate. So it is really a full day of training that needs to occur for the whole thing. But there are little exercises that I plan on bringing into the classroom. And I can tell you that there were some things that made me uncomfortable because they were things that I have experienced in my life. And it's been not only in the newsroom, it's been in academia, working in a department where, you know, a well-known journalist who was coming in and teaching was making me uncomfortable, sending me texts in the middle of the night, although I'd only given him my number to in case of emergency kind of thing. And it ended up being he was not just doing that to me, making me uncomfortable, but actually making a student uncomfortable as well, as we found out later. And that person was let go, was fired from their position immediately once the student came forward and told a teacher, who then took them straight to the dean of students at my school. But that was a pillar of the community. That was someone who had been in his position a very long time, and it was nothing. He wasn't doing anything illegal to me. He was sending me anytime, and this is probably any woman, anytime you get a text that says, are you awake at like 2 a.m. and the U is a U, the letter U, nothing good can come of that, right? Nothing
sure.
ever can. So it's one of those things that it's uncomfortable. It's like, are you okay? Is anything wrong? Situation. And they're like, oh, well, you're just nice to talk to. Mm-hmm. I'm like, not at 2 a.m. So, you know, so you try to avoid the person, but you know immediately that the flags are raised, that your alarm is up, the lizard brain activates. And mm-hmm. it kind of puts you in a flight or fight response because you're like, I don't know where this is going. And this makes me really concerned. So, you know, I did tell my female colleagues about it. Did not tell upper administration because it was not illegal. It was not things that could, you know, he didn't say anything that was sexual harassing, but I knew it was going to lead to that eventually. Mm-hmm. But, you know, unfortunately, he was doing it to other people, and that's what took him down.
We are out of time for today. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.